This is the Art Beauty Podcast, where we tell the real truth about the fake shit. And today, we're really going to be talking a lot of truth about some fake shit because my fabulous guest and co-host today is Dr. Chloe Carmichael. She is a clinical psychologist and also an author. Dr. Chloe, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be with you.
How are you holding up through everything?
Well, to be honest, I almost feel like you're not supposed to say this, but I'm actually sort of secretly enjoying it. And that's not to take away from the fact that I know people are suffering and I do feel terrible for that. And if there was anything I could do, you know, to change that, I would. But as a psychologist, I'm always trying to make the best of what we have. And yeah. I have been really enjoying the, you know, quieter lifestyle a little bit. As a 20-year New York City veteran, this is, you know, it's actually kind of nice to slow down.
You know, I feel the same way. And of course, I echo what you're saying. You know, at the root of this, there's a pandemic. It is hurting people financially, physically, certainly mentally. But I'm Trevor the optimist. You know, I try to look at the positive moments too. And I feel like I've also had this, it's been nice to sort of feel like you're stepping off the you know, out of the rat race of it just kind of going to be able to, like, I don't know, take a deep breath and, you know, be enjoying where you are in both, you know, physical space and your, like, mental time.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in 1985 again or something. Like, everything is slow and I'm actually loving it.
So, you know, I wanted to talk to you. I saw that you did a really interesting piece on your blog, and it really hit home for me. The piece was about plastic surgery, and is it a sign of self-confidence or a sign of, you know, that something might be wrong? And having just recently had my own plastic surgery, I was like, hey, this is kind of an interesting topic, because I think that, you know, when you hear that somebody is doing something with plastic surgery, I feel like the initial thought is, oh, they must be unhappy with themselves. Do you agree?
I agree that that is sometimes some people's initial thought, but I don't agree that that's the sensible, accurate thought. And by the way, I don't know what procedure you had, but you look beautiful. So,
oh, thanks. I had my breasts lifted. So, yeah, I'm actually still, that's why I'm in a t-shirt, because I'm still in that where I can only wear sports bras for like the next 6 weeks. And, you know, I can talk about this. It's been a journey for me, especially because I had this, and I've talked about this on the podcast. My husband and I went through multiple rounds of IVF unsuccessfully. And, you know, I always grew up having great breasts. I love my breasts. But I felt like they, you know, when I was younger, I went from like an A cup to a D cup overnight. And so, you know, by the time I hit 40, it was like they weren't as perky. And when I realized, you know what, when I realized that this wasn't going to be, that this was maybe more of a no baby body, I was like, let's make it an O baby body.
Woo, I love it.
Yeah. But, you know, even having done it, there's so many levels of, it's like so many psychological levels of, like, first you're happy and then sometimes there's like that, what did I do to myself? And then it's like, oh, this is really great. And I feel like it's just, there's so many things going on. What are some of the things that you found in terms of like the psychology of plastic surgery?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like what you were saying, which is that a lot of people will automatically assume that it's about a low self-esteem, like as if you're necessarily doing this, you know, for other people or, you know, because some other reason. Whereas actually, you know, and I'm sure there are cases where that is the situation, but a lot of times I think it's really about somebody that just knows what they want. They know how they want to look. And I think it actually takes a fair amount of confidence to be able to say, you know, I'm committing to this. Like, I'm actually going to go all in and live the look, you know, walk the talk. And I don't care what other people say. And, right. You know, you, for example, have an interesting situation because if you were you said you went from an A to a D and all these things. And I've known women that were at a D and then somehow after the baby, they ended up like going down to a B and they felt like that was then like their excuse, like, oh, well, I was at a D before. I'm just, you know, restoring what I was before. But I also want women to know that if you were an A and you were like, damn it, I just want to be a D. Or I also have, you know, known women that were like, oh, like I was a D and I just really wanted to be an A. Right. To me, it's not about low self-esteem. It's really about a woman who knows what turns her on, that she wants to look in the mirror and feel hot.
I think that some of the, like that, the low self-esteem, you know, I wonder, like, we're bombarded with celebrities, right? And you know, like, let's take Khloe Kardashian, right? Who has had numerous, you know, actually all of the sisters have done numerous things. And really here on this podcast, I celebrate plastic surgery when done for the right reasons. But I guess that people sort of look, and when somebody looks so drastically different, I wonder if that's where people start to think, wow, does she have really low self-esteem? But I don't know. I also think that, like, you know, when used as a tool for good, it can really add to somebody's. Like for my own self, I was like, you know what? I wanted to celebrate. My body had been through so many things that I was like, I want to do something good. And somebody said, well, why are you going to mutilate your body to sort of celebrate it? And I said, no. I'm sort of giving it back, zhuzhing it up, if you will, as a way to sort of say, hey, you know what? Even though my womanhood wasn't able to go in this direction, there's still a lot of things that make me a woman.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you must have the patience of a saint, right? That if somebody said to you, if they use the word mutilate, you know, I mean, well, first of all, honestly, to me, that really cheapens. Like when we think about like actual female genital mutilation that, you know, yeah, happens, like this is not a mutilation. Like you're an empowered woman that is making a choice to do something to your body that you want to do. The idea of somebody referring to that as a mutilation, to me, that's actually almost like taking a shot at your self-esteem, as if suggesting that you don't know what you want. You know right. what I mean? Like to me, that's actually more undermining, you know, than anything else. Like we wouldn't say to someone who just like got a haircut, like, why are you mutilating your hair? Or, you know,
we
wouldn't criticize someone that wanted to get a tattoo. So why would we do that to someone, you know, for plastic surgery?
You know, I'm very lucky because all of my very close friends and the people around me have all been like, good for you. You know, so I think that there's been a lot of positivity around that. But do you feel as a professional like it can be a sign of self-confidence, right? I feel good about myself. I want to do something good for myself. I'm going to take steps to make myself the best me I can be. But there certainly must also be, on the flip side of that, you know, it might sometimes be a warning sign that maybe something's not okay.
Sure. I mean, I think that can be true of almost anything, right? So let's take tattoos again, for an example. A person could get a tattoo and it's like their fun way to express themselves and they love it. Yes, like you know, but other people, it's almost like you feel like there's something else that's going on, you know? And so to just blank it all on tattoos in general, you know, to me is a little bit over the top, because if you think about it, what a person is doing is when they, you know, may have some plastic surgery or any other cosmetic procedure to make them look the way that they want to look and feel the way that they want to feel, there's a way of looking at that, which is that it would be self-care, that it's literally right. investing in yourself and thinking about your social signaling and your body language. That's what personal grooming is really in psychology. And so if you're actually just trying to think about, you know, symbols that, you know, make you feel confident, that emphasize, you know, your femininity, that, you know, emphasize, you know, things that connect to health and vigor. You know, that to me, to just automatically assume that that means that something is wrong is a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction. It's like, for example, if you buy yourself a nice new outfit, somebody could say, oh, well, that's great. You're taking good care of yourself and you're treating yourself. But another person could just, you know, shop compulsively. But that wouldn't mean that we would then just want to say, well, all shopping is about compulsivity.
Right. That's such a good point. You know, before we get into like the more fun and positive side, just because we have been touching on this, what should somebody do if they think, wow, you know, whether it's a mother, sister, friend, husband, boyfriend, if they see somebody in their lives who's getting plastic surgery and they think, maybe this isn't for the right reasons.
So you mean like if somebody listening has a friend that they are a little worried about, like how would they handle that? I think that it's good to make sure that if you choose to approach the person, to make sure that you do it in a way that makes room for the truth, which is that that person is the expert on that person, right? So,
oh, well said. Yes. Yes.
So I would, if you felt like you wanted to say, like you could say, hey, you know, there's something that's been on my mind. I want to share it with you out of care for you, but I want to let you know it's really more of a question than it is a statement. You know, I just wanted to check with you because I've noticed that you've been doing a lot of these procedures lately. And I know that sometimes people do that and it's just meaning that they're celebrating themselves. Right. And sometimes people do it because there's something that they're feeling off about. I feel like just as your friend, I just want to ask you, like, is it the former or the latter? And that way you're giving the person room to know that you've noticed them and you're thinking about them and you care about them, but you're also making it clear that you're not trying to push anything on them.
But it also can be kind of like a slippery slope. I remember the first time I got Botox, my doctor was like, be careful because this is a slippery slope. It's like the gateway drug to all of the other things. Having just had a breast lift, which was not an easy surgery. It was a legit surgery. But, you know, 2 weeks later, now that I'm kind of back up on my feet and like things are really much better than I started with, it's kind of like, well, I wonder what else we could do. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's like normal?
Yes, honestly, I think it's normal and I think it's totally understandable. Right. You know, I guess I think both perspectives are true. So yeah, you know, we can all get a little excited and carried away and, you know, say, wow, you know, if you know, 10% is good, then 100% must be 10 times better, right? and so I guess I would encourage a person in that situation to feel free to, you know, let their mind roam and get excited and, you know, take advantage of this, you know, kind of creative burst. Like when you realize like, wow, I can really, you know, manifest and show and express whatever I want. That can be exciting and inspiring. And so if it's making you think like, gee, what else, you know, and again, that wouldn't be unusual at all, because even something as simple as painting your walls will suddenly make you say, gee, maybe my carpet now looks a little, you know, whatever. And so if it's just inspiring you to have ideas and to think, you know, why not make like a, almost like a vision board of like a mood board of ideas, let the ideas flow. And then at the same time, we don't want to make major life decisions when we're in any way disoriented. And it can be disorienting, even in a good way. It can be disorienting, dizzy, like, you know, getting a brand new car, getting your driver's license. You're a little thrown off with this, you know, brand new, you know, identity in a way. So I would give some time to just let it marinate before making any other big life decisions. But I don't think the idea that it's occurring to you that if it worked the first time, there might be other areas. There's nothing like on its
wrong
face
with that.
Necessarily wrong.
I love that you're saying this. And I love that you like said, like your house, if you painted your house, you'd be really excited about that. And you might want to get a new couch and do this, but you're not necessarily going to act on that, but it's okay to sort of let your mind wander to those things. You know, one of the things that I found was during the process, and you talk about being disoriented, and I've talked to a lot of friends who have had surgeries before. And what I was told was, you know, be careful. There's going to be some emotional times during it. When I was reading all the boards, it was amazing how many women were like, almost every woman at some point was like, I woke up thinking, what did I just do to myself?
Yeah, definitely. That makes so much sense. I mean, so first of all, obviously, like when it comes to a breast lift or something, you would probably have a lot of swelling at first. And so you might even say to yourself, like, oh my God, what did I do? Because it was just, it wasn't what you were expecting. So, you know, one thought is, you know, certainly physically and mentally to just kind of like let the swelling go down a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's normal to have ups and downs, and even the ups are a form of stress. So in psychology, we not only have distress, but we have eustress, which is E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S. And it's like the same root as euphoria. Euphoria. So even positive stress, you know, it carries a burden too. It still kind of registers with us that this is, you know, a significant change, and it's a component of our identity, and it's going to be with us for the rest of our lives. And so if you're any kind of a responsible person at all, on a certain level, of course, that's going to like register with you. And it doesn't have to mean that it's a mistake, but it is, you know, just a moment of gravity of just realizing like that you made a big change, which is exciting. But what comes with that too is that there is a loss of the old aspect of the identity. And so again, back to the idea of a good self-esteem, it's quite possible that even pre-surgery, there were things about the pre-surgery part that you actually really liked. And so even though you ultimately chose a different route, right, you can still mourn the loss of the old one. Just like when we finish high school, we feel kind of sad and nostalgic. It doesn't mean we really want to go back to high school. It doesn't mean graduating was a mistake. It just means that we can recognize that we're leaving something behind.
Totally. Oh my goodness. I love that. So do you have, you know, advice for people? Another thing that I saw that came up a lot was, I don't know how to tell my significant other that I want to have plastic surgery. I was very lucky. My husband was extremely supportive. My parents were supportive. My friends were supportive. But I wonder, you know, for people who might not have as strong a support system, are there good ways to tell that to people so that they don't think, wow, does she not love herself? Or, you know, in the case of a husband, am I not showing her that she's beautiful enough?
Yeah.
Is there anything?
So especially when it comes to a spouse, I think you're right that many spouses, if you think about it from the spouse's perspective, almost feel obligated to try and talk you out of it. Because can you imagine, you'd almost be mad if you went to your husband and said, I think I'm going to get a breast enhancement. And if he said, I was waiting for you to do that. He'd almost be in trouble, right? So your husband might just, or your significant other might feel almost like it's their obligation to say, well, you don't need that. Are you sure you want to do that? So I guess I would try to not necessarily get like stuck in their initial reaction. And it's also, I think, helpful to frame it to them by saying, look, I want you to know this is something I really want to do. And this isn't about me not loving myself. This is actually about me loving myself enough to pay attention and know what I really want and to go ahead and do it. So you might almost feel like weird about supporting me in this to get plastic surgery because you're my spouse and you might think you're like not supposed to, but let me tell you, I want your support. Can I please have it? And who could say no to that?
That's such great advice. And probably the same thing for, you know, like a parent. I know that certainly, you know, there were going back to as young as, you know, my middle school years, you know, when nose jobs were something that young people were getting, how do you feel like you can brace your parent for something like that?
That's a really interesting one because your parents are the people who give you your DNA, right? Unless you're adopted. But the parents, you know, I've actually heard of situations where the parents can take it personally. Like if you have the family nose and then, you know, you're going to have surgery, then the parents can take it personally. There's what we call in psychology, like separation individuation issues too, where the parents can feel almost like you're an extension of them. And they can have their own social concerns as well, like what will their friends say or whatever. And so I would encourage a person to give their parents permission to have their own reaction. The goal of the conversation with your parents or anybody shouldn't really be to get them to agree with you, because that's actually not giving them the right to have their own opinion. But at the end of the day, their opinion isn't, like, it's only their opinion. They don't, they're not the decision maker. And so you're the decision maker, and other people can have their opinion. So if your parents disagree with it or whatever, I wouldn't try to get into a debate about it. I would just let them know, like, well, look, you have your opinion. I totally respect that. I just wanted to let you know that this is something I'm doing because I want to do it. I'm feeling empowered. It makes me feel strong. It makes me feel good. And I would love to have your support. But if you don't want to support me, you can't support me. I respect that too. That's your position, but I'm proceeding and just wanted to let you know.
You know, I feel like, you know, no plastic surgery or no should be taken with a grain of salt, right? Even Botox is something that you should really think about and consider and really weigh all the options. Do you think that talking to people is in some ways helpful because it's part of that sort of thinking process and weighing things out?
Yeah, definitely. So when we talk about ideas with people, we're kind of mentally trying them on for size. Mm-hmm. And especially when it comes to plastic surgery, which is where you're thinking about making a physical change to yourself, you can talk about it first and kind of try it on verbally, so to speak, and just see what it feels like to hear yourself going through that first step of the transformation, which is first to be somebody who thinks about and talks about having that procedure done. That would be the first step. So it makes a lot of sense that you would want to go through those processes. In fact, if somebody never talked about the surgery and just silently went out and did it, that would almost worry me more than somebody that does want to talk about it, because that's one of the reasons psychologists believe that humans evolved to be so sophisticated, is because we have the gift of language, and that does help us to talk through ideas and develop them.
Great. I love that. Yeah. When I had mine done, and when I finally sort of pulled the trigger, to me, it felt very sudden. Like, I was just like, okay. But I was kind of relieved that all of my closest girlfriends and my husband were like, well, you've been talking about this for years. So it made me realize, no, this isn't a spur of the moment. What's sudden is that it's now happening. Mm-hmm. You know, now we're in the actual action phase, but I've been planning this and thinking about this for a long time. So that was rather comforting.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense.
So do you have any final thoughts for people, you know, who might be considering plastic surgery?
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, obviously you want to make sure that, as you said, that you are doing it for the right reasons. So if it's a situation where somebody else in your life is telling you that you think that they think that you should get it, you know, that's obviously the wrong reason. But if it's something that you yourself are thinking about doing because you want to do it, then a nice way to think about it is to not go about it in a black and white manner. Like, I have to either not do it, or I'm, you know, doing it and I'm all in. What you could do is, like, make an appointment maybe with three different good plastic surgeons and talk to three different plastic surgeons, maybe even bring a friend with you so you have that extra set of eyes and ears. And don't even put any pressure on yourself to feel like you have to make a decision. Just allow yourself to gather information and talk to people and learn about it. And bit by bit, you might start to come to a decision. But obviously, it's not something that you should feel you need to rush.
You know, I love that you said bring somebody with you that you trust. I find that, I don't know, I think that most, and I don't know if this is more of a female thing, but I find that a lot of people, I myself included, sort of have, are on the scale of some sort of dysmorphia about what they really look like, whether it's, oh, I think my nose is too big, or, oh my gosh, you know, how many girlfriends you have who are like, I'm so fat, and you're like, no, you're not. So I think that it's nice and that it's helpful if you've got somebody who you trust, who can come in and sort of lend their expertise. I certainly did it with my husband. I was like, I don't know, when you were trying in different sizes of things, I'm like, I just want to look like myself. But it's hard for us to sometimes see what we really look like.
Well, that's so true. And we're so vulnerable. If you're thinking about, you know, plastic surgery and you're going to a plastic surgeon, I have been that friend for other people before. And I have seen plastic surgeons make what feel to me, I don't know if the surgeon was doing it on purpose or not, but they can say kind of cutting things without meaning to, you know, but I've seen them say to a friend like, oh yeah, you're barely an A cup. You know what I mean? And the surgeon feels like they're just stating a fact, but that was kind of unnerving and sort of threw my friend off. And, you know, I think like even sometimes doctors can make you feel like, you know, they'll put you down so that they can fix you. And, you know, I know that they're not doing that on purpose, at least most of them. But that's why, again, I would say that if you're not like experienced in the world of plastic surgery, or even if you are, it's probably a good idea to bring along a friend, you know, to just be that second set of eyes and ears for you, to help you think about the decision, but also to really help you understand if you're feeling safe and secure and feeling like you're in a good place with that doctor.
So, and you know what, and it goes for any doctor, right? So if you're going for a psychologist, if you're going for a dermatologist, if you're going for a plastic surgeon, you want to make sure that you feel like you are being heard. Mm-hmm. I couldn't say enough about my surgeon. Dr. Adam Kolker was incredible and really made me feel like he was listening to what I wanted, which was key. It's really key. You have to have a good relationship with that person because, you know, once you're under, you're literally in their hands, so you better trust them.
Literally.
Thank you so much for coming on and talking about this, because I do think that there are sometimes stigmas around this. And, you know, even if you're not a person who's not considering plastic surgery and you have a friend, is something like this can be helpful to hear so that you know how to best support them.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, so in my upcoming book, Nervous Energy, that is one of the things that I talk about too, is like how to take that anxiety or discomfort with your current state, or nervousness about seeing the doctor or whatever, and then think about how to convert that nervousness or discomfort into a healthy action. And so there's just so many different ways that, you know, you can think about doing that, whether it's through taking good care of yourself, you know, or getting support from friends. So I'm so glad I got the chance to come here and talk about it with you.
I want to ask you, because I, you know, I feel like right now, anxiety in most people is at an all-time high. So thank you for writing this book. Can you give us any little sort of tip or precursor from your book, or like tidbit to help us if, you know, we're having anxiety in really any aspect of our lives? One thing that we can do?
Yeah, definitely. So I would say that the most important thing to do is to actually listen to the anxiety. So many times people come and they're like, oh, Dr. Chloe, how do I get rid of my anxiety? And I explain, well, actually, the healthy function of anxiety is to stimulate preparatory behaviors. So if you're feeling anxious about something, ask yourself, what can I do, you know, to prepare for it? Because when we get a little anxious, we'll get that extra adrenaline. And that extra adrenaline is actually our friend if we use it to go take care of business, to take care of whatever that anxiety is about. So it's a matter of learning to redirect that energy.
That's wonderful, 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 wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
My pleasure.
If people want to purchase your book, when is it coming out and how do they find you?
Yeah, I would love for people to do that. They can go to Amazon and type in Dr. Chloe Carmichael, or they can go to drchloe.com/book, and there's more options there too.
And you know what, Dr. Chloe, you've got a wonderful blog. You've got wonderful articles. So I highly recommend, and really covering not only beauty, but wellness and of course, mental health. Thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for having me, Amber. It was great to be with you.
And of course, everybody, if you've got questions you'd like us to pass along to Dr. Chloe, we absolutely will. You can email me at hello@artbeautypodcast. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Art Beauty Podcast. And of course, here on YouTube at Art Beauty Podcast. And of course, we will see you next Tuesday. Bye.